The Hidden Life of Trees, Chapter 21. Motherships of Biodiversity. Most animals that depend on trees don't harm them. They just use the trunks or the crowns as custom-built homes that offer small ecological niches, thanks to varying amounts of moisture and light. Innumerable specialists find places to live here. Little research has been done, particularly in the upper levels of the forest, because scientists need to use expensive cranes or scaffolds to check them out. To keep costs down, brutal methods are sometimes employed. And so, in 2009, tree researcher Dr. Martin Gosner sprayed the oldest, 600 years old, and mightiest, 170 feet tall and 6 feet wide at chest height, tree in the Bavarian Forest National Park. The chemical he used, pyrethrum, is an insecticide which brought any number of spiders and insects tumbling down to the forest floor, dead. The lethal results show how species-rich life is way up high. The scientist counted 2,041 animals belonging to 257 different species. Tree crowns even contain specialised wetland habitats. When a trunk splits to form a fork, rainwater collects at the point where the trunk divides. This minuscule pool is home to tiny little flies that provide food for rare species of beetles. It's more difficult for animals to live in trunk cavities where water collects. The cavities are dark, and the murky, mouldy brew that lurks there contains very little oxygen. Larvae that develop in water cannot breathe in places like that, unless, of course, they are endowed with snorkels, like the offspring of the bumblebee hoverfly. Thanks to breathing tubes that extend like telescopes, these larvae can survive here. Bacteria are almost the only things stirring in these waters, so they're probably the larvae's food source. Not every tree is targeted by woodpeckers as a nesting site and doomed to gradual rot, and by no means do all slowly waste away, offering many specialised species hard-to-find habitats as they do. Many trees die quickly. A storm might snap a mighty trunk, or bark beetles might destroy a tree's bark in a few short weeks, causing its leaves to wither and die. Then the ecosystem around the tree changes suddenly. Animals and fungi that are dependent on the tree pumping a steady supply of moisture through its veins or sugar to its crown must now leave the corpse or starve. A small world has come to an end. Or has it just begun? Und wenn ich gehe, dann geht nur ein Teil von mir. Excuse my poor German. And when I go, only a part of me is gone. This phrase from a hit German pop singer, Peter Maffay, could have been written by a tree. For the dead tree trunk is as indispensable for the cycle of the life in the forest as the live tree. For centuries, the tree sucked nutrients from the ground and stored them in its wood and bark. And now, it is a precious resource for its children. But they don't have direct access to the delicacies contained in their dead parents. To access them, the youngsters need the help of other organisms. As soon as the snapped trunk hits the ground, the tree and its root system become the site of a culinary relay race for thousands of species of fungi and insects. Each is specialised for a particular stage of the decomposition process and for a particular part of the tree. And this is why the species can never pose a danger to a living tree. It would be much too fresh for them. Soft, woody fibres and moist, mouldy cells. These are the things they find delicious. They take their sweet time over both their meals and their life cycles, as demonstrated by the stag beetle. The adult beetle lives for only a few weeks, just long enough to mate. This animal spends most of its life as a larva, which slowly eats its way through the crumbling roots of dead deciduous trees. It can take up to 8 years for it to get big and fat enough to pupate. Bracket fungus is similarly slow. It gets its name because it sticks out from the dead trunk, like a shelf made from a broken plate. The red belt conch is one example. It feeds on the white threads of cellulose in the wood, leaving brown crumbs as evidence of its meal. Its fruiting body, the aforementioned broken plate, is attached to the trunk at a neat horizontal angle. This is the only way it can ensure that its reproductive spores will trickle out of the small tubes on its underside. If the rotten tree it is attached to falls over one day, the fungus seals the tubes and continues to grow at right angles to its former fruiting body so that it can form a new horizontal plate. Some fungi fight bitterly over feeding territory. You can see this clearly on dead wood that has been sawn into pieces. You'll find marbled structures of lighter and darker tissue clearly separated by black lines. The different shades indicate different species of fungus working their way through the wood. They wall off their territory from other species with dark, impenetrable polymers, which look to us as though they are drawing battle lines. In total, a fifth of all animal and plant species, that's about 6,000 of the species we know about, depend on dead wood. As I've explained, dead wood is useful because of its role as a nutrient recycler. But can it also be a threat to the forest? After all, perhaps if there's not enough dead wood lying around, organisms might decide to eat live trees instead. I hear this concern voiced time and again by people who come to visit the forest, and there are a few private forest owners who remove all dead trunks for exactly this reason. But this is neither a necessary nor a useful practice. All removing dead wood does is destroy valuable habitats, because live wood is of no use to organisms that live in dead wood. Live wood is not soft enough for them. It is too moist, and it contains too much sugar. This is quite apart from the fact that beeches, oaks, and spruce defend themselves from colonization. Healthy trees growing in their natural range withstand almost all attacks if they are well nourished. And the armada of decomposers helps feed the living trees as long as the little guys can find a way to make their livelihoods. Sometimes dead wood is directly beneficial to trees. For example, when a downed trunk serves as a cradle for its young. Young spruce sprout particularly well in the dead bodies of their parents. This is known as nurse log reproduction in English, and somewhat gruesomely as Cadaver Verjüngung, or cadaver rejuvenation in German. Again, apologies for the poor German. The soft, rotten wood stores water particularly well, and some of the nutrients it contains have already been released by fungi and insects. There's just one teeny problem. The trunk isn't a permanent replacement for soil, as it is constantly being degraded until one day it disintegrates completely into humus on the forest floor. So what happens to the young trees then? Their roots are exposed and lose their support, but because the process plays out over decades, the roots follow the disintegrating wood into the forest floor. The trees of the spruce that grow up this way end up being elevated on stilts. The height of the stilts corresponds to the diameter of the nurse log on which they once lay.